Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
All right, time now for our weekly listener question. And this week, Manaka from Rivonia reached out to us at business@hot1027.co.za with a pressing concern. He's currently out of work and is considering renting out the home to cover costs while job hunting. I guess many people might find themselves in a similar predicament. And asking for advice on the do's and don'ts of renting out residential property. I'm in conversation now with Grant Smee, Chief Executive Officer of Only Reality and Lead Home. We've spoken to Grant before. He has extensive experience in property management and rentals. Grant, a very warm welcome to you. So the first steps then that someone like Manaka should take when deciding to rent out their property, what should they be thinking?
I think the issue around renting your property out is people need to realize whether you're renting out one or 10 properties, it's a business that comes with risks and certainly rewards, but there's the risks as well, like any business. And first part is really being unemotional about the whole process and making sure that you have everything in place to rent out the property. Firstly, to tenants that will take care of the property, but secondly, in line with legislation.
How important is it to screen tenants, and what should a first-time landlord be looking for in someone that's going to move in? Because effectively, they become a very close neighbour.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's imperative that tenants are screened just as a sense check. It's not a perfect science, but there's a few things you want to check. Firstly, affordability, their ability to pay the rent, and that doesn't come down to just their income, but it comes down to their net income after all the expenses, their previous experience with or previous experience of other landlords where they have rented. And I wouldn't just check the immediate previous landlord, but try and check as far back as possible just to make sure that they do take care of the property. You know, the credit checks are important but not absolutely vital, particularly considering that in South Africa credit is impaired across the board. So it really comes down to their cash flow, but checks are absolutely imperative.
And bear in mind as well that this person is a client. It's a business relationship. They are not your friend. A lot of people, I think, make that mistake.
Absolutely. You know, and it comes out a lot when tenants don't pay and they use any excuse or reason not to pay. And the landlord's often the person who they don't pay first because they see a landlord as a very wealthy person who has an extra property. And the reality really is a lot of people are living on the breadline or very close to it. And even landlords can't afford to not receive that rental. So landlords need to realize that, like I said, it's definitely a business. And if there's non-payment, that you take every step correctly in terms of legislation to make sure that you firstly are able to collect the rent, or secondly, start the eviction process as soon as possible to make sure that you have that non-paying tenant leave.
All right, Grant, let's assume then that Manaka has done the credit check, that there is a relationship that is going to form. The next thing is rental price for the property. Are there specific factors that need to be considered by a homeowner?
Absolutely. So you need to look at the area and what you're competing with in the area, the amenities that your property offers versus others, the quality of your property. And I really suggest that people go through a process of upgrading or maintaining their property and taking care of all the little repairs that need to be done before the tenant moves in, because it just gets accentuated by a tenancy. And then making sure that you have the right lease agreement in place. I wouldn't buy pre-printed lease agreements, but either approach a residential property attorney, or there's several options online that you can find. And then making sure that from a price point of view, that you really price in a position where you're not overpricing, where the property stays vacant for longer, but also don't underprice. And you can gauge that from the market. If you price property too low, you'll have a huge amount of inquiries for your property. And yes, you'll have your selection of tenants, but you might be cutting yourself short. So it's just a process of going through and almost position the property where you think you can get the rental. And the best option is to look on Property 24 and just look at other properties in your area and what they offer.
And Grant, there's no issue if you have an existing bond on the property. You can still rent it out, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, all the banks want to make sure that you are paying your bond. So there's no issue around that. I would look at maybe your insurance policies to make sure that a tenant, if they're in the property, that any issues around the property that are covered by insurance are covered for tenants. So that would be the one thing to look at. But from a bond perspective, no, there's no issue there. The only thing, again, there is the bank wants their money whether your tenant pays or not. So you need to be in a position that if your tenant doesn't pay, that you have funds available to make that mortgage payment.
Yeah, I mean, you're not abrogating all responsibility to the tenant. Let's look at legal obligations now. Are there specific clauses that you would recommend including in a lease agreement to protect the landlord's interests?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the most important one is the breach, you know, the breach clause. So how do you put somebody in breach on the lease if they don't align with the responsibilities of the clauses? So the one that everyone's worried about is non-payment of rental. However, there are other ones: breach of body corporate rules, you know, putting extra people into the property. All those, or subletting even, all those are breaches of the lease agreement, and you need to have that breach clause very clear and concise. And it needs to also align with the Consumer Protection Act, which requires 20 days notice for rectification of that breach and then cancellation of that lease agreement on day 21.
Grant, there is a cost attached to it, but is it better maybe for someone like our guest tonight or the person who's coming in with a question to look at a property management company? Is there an upside in hiring a third party to do this?
Yeah, so I think we first need to distinguish between finding a tenant and property management. Finding a tenant is a process that obviously a lot of estate agencies offer, and they charge normally 1 month's rental for that. That's something that a landlord could quite easily do themselves. And if they're comfortable to then do those checks, the checks we spoke about earlier, that's quite easy to do. Property management is a specialized field which a lot of estate agencies offer, but aren't necessarily the best at it. It's almost like the ugly sister of their business. But it is important to have a good property manager in place that can manage that property if you don't feel that you have the skill set or the emotional IQ actually to manage that property, because it can become quite personal. There is a lot of legislation around a rental of property and housing. And then also, you know, landlords do have an emotional attachment, not only to their property, but sometimes to the tenant, which obviously property managers put a buffer in place for and just follow process. So I think property management on the one side is absolutely imperative for any landlord looking to scale their portfolio, and then the tenant acquisition or tenant finding portion is something that they could take on themselves conceivably.
Now let's assume that Manaka's got a tenant in his property, things are going all right in the short term, and then all of a sudden there's an unexpected maintenance cost or some type of dispute that arises. What's the process then?
So if there's a maintenance cost, I mean, that's just the process of getting quotes from your contractors and making sure that you know, the maintenance is for your responsibility as the landlord. That comes down to normal wear and tear or normal maintenance. But if there's something that the tenant has done, an act of negligence or done on purpose, then that's something that you can hold them liable for and charge to them. The issue becomes is, do they pay it or loan them? And that comes down then against your breach clauses within your lease agreement. So the lease agreement needs to cover those things on the maintenance side. In terms of the sort of breach and non-payment, that's where you really need to be proactive as a landlord and put everything in writing and make sure that you follow process. The problem is if you do certain things that you know, I see a lot of Facebook groups suggest, then you know, you put yourself in a position where you could potentially be at a disadvantage if you go to court for an eviction. The court will throw out the whole motion if you've done certain things out of you know, that aren't in line with legislation.
Well, Manaka in Rivonia, first of all, we hope that you find a job. And second of all, if all of this goes ahead, I hope that we have given you some good advice. I want to thank Grant Smee, Chief Executive Officer of Only Realty and Lead Home. Grant, always appreciate your participation. And if you have a financial query, we do this every Wednesday on the program. We'll find the very best expert to answer your question. All you need to do is drop us a mail at business@hot1027.co.za.
Hot Business on Hot 1027 with MoneyWeb.